Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is October 2nd, 2021, Saturday. Beautiful day. Hope everybody is having a fantastic day so far. It's been a couple days. I was reminded this morning that it's October, but there are some people out there that are doing sober October. And I've known about this. Joe Rogan was talking about doing sober October. They usually do it. I'm a big fan of his, so I was, excited to hear that. And then my ex-wife reminded me of it because her and her boyfriend are doing sober October. And I was like, good for you guys. That's awesome. I always wonder what the motivation is behind sober October. Maybe just, a little reset, checking, how well it is going in our drinking careers. I don't know. I know that it sounds like a fantastic opportunity to maybe become sober. I don't know. I would think that if you are considering sober October and that the word is in there, that maybe it's an idea. So, hey, if you're doing sober October, awesome. Pulling for you. Hang in there. You got this. Usually people that are doing sober October are pretty committed to the month. So hopefully it's not, biting your nails every day. If it is, then yeah, maybe sobriety might be something for you. But if it's just a chance to take a break and give your body a rest, I think that's great. I thought I would share a little bit about just how grateful I am today. Just very, very grateful for being sober. My life, I know I have talked about it, but how my life, the day that I put down the drink, just the minute, really, maybe not the minute, because the first few minutes of my sobriety were a little groggy and confusing, and I'd had the shit knocked out of me, so I was not quite up to par as far as my senses were going, but I just remember the relief for a guy like me who was drinking. One of the things about my story that still is interesting to me is the fact that I didn't, if I take a hard look at the beginning of my drinking career, how it evolved and then kind of how it ended, I wasn't always I didn't always drink alcoholically. I don't want to say I wasn't always an alcoholic, because I do believe that self-centered deficiency with humility, behavior, lifestyle, I was that way all my life. But the alcohol part, I did not start drinking every day in the beginning. It was innocent, I've talked about, trying to impress people, trying to fit in. Alcohol was definitely a way for me to fit in, to break the ice, to have conversation. I look back now and I'm surprised how shy and just in that place where you just don't want to, you just don't fit in. And I'll never forget drinking alcohol made me feel like I was equal, not behind, in the conversation or the, you know, just being human with other human game. You know, it was always a struggle for me. I never felt like I fit in. I never was part of, and alcohol did that. And so I used alcohol to fill that void. And, you know, whether it was with Danny, I remember my friend Michelle, her and I skipping school and drinking. And I'll never forget that I thought that if it appeared like I was drinking, that I was okay to talk to people. Because I remember, you know, there was a time when we would drink and I would, you know, they'd hand me a bottle and I'd put it up to my mouth and I'd tilt it to the sky, but I would keep my lips closed and I wouldn't let alcohol come into my mouth because I didn't like it, you know. But once I acted like that I had been drinking, once it had appeared that I had had a drink, I felt then I could be silly and have fun and be open. And so, you know, my introduction to alcohol, you know, was not to get drunk. It was to fit in and have fun and be silly. I look back, you know, one of the big things that I'm grateful for is my kids have never seen us drink. They don't see us drink now. They don't see alcohol in our house. I do believe that slightly might have made it okay to drink. I'm not saying that every parent that drinks in front of his kid is going to have an alcoholic kid, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know if anybody's what. We're big fans of the Apple TV Ted Lasso series, which was on through the pandemic, and then they just released the second season. And if you do or have been watching it, if you just started, don't listen. But at one point, there's a character, Roy, who was one of the main characters on the team in the first series, and I think he retired, and now he plays a different role. But he is dating a girl who has a daughter, and Roy likes to cuss. And so, you know, one day the school calls in Roy and the daughter because the daughter's in trouble, and the counselor says, you know, your daughter has a problem with cussing. And he's like, oh. And she's like, do you know where she may be hearing all of this cussing from? And he's like, oh, you know, because in the show, he cusses about everything. He uses the F word. I mean, the guy, he is a, you know, man's man, right? He's got a foul mouth. But, you know, the point was is that this little girl loves Roy. She looks up to Roy. She thinks Roy's awesome. But Roy likes to cuss. So in turn, this little girl starts to cuss. And so Roy has to address how his cussing is. But, you know, I'm not sure if it's kind of the same as far as, you know, with my parents. You know, I, you know, just always watching them drink. And I've never ever seen my parents have a drunken fight. I've never seen my parents, due to alcohol, you know, disrupt our family. I do remember when we had gone on a trip to Oklahoma, my dad had too many to drink, and we'd gotten a new car. We had driven to Oklahoma. He was backing out and hit a pole with the rear end of the car and smashed it in because he was drunk. It wasn't a big deal at the time, but, you know, later looking back at it, he was absolutely too drunk to drive. But that was, you know, the most of it. So, and I'm just trying to figure this out. So I'm just wondering, you know, if just being around the alcohol, seeing, you know, the fun. I've talked about the parties my parents would have. And, if my parents were having a party on Saturday night, it was the vibration and the energy of the day, you know. The conversation, the talk, the prep, you know, the errands that needed to be run, the last minute booze that needed to be purchased or whatever it was. But it was this energy throughout the day of the party, and then, you know, the smells and the aromas of cologne and perfume and things cooking, and then the first knock and just the greetings and the kissing, and then how, you know, my brother and I would kind of, you know, we'd watch TV or, you know, stay out of the way, but we'd come and check on the party every once in a while, and just you could feel the energy of the party start to build, and then how the, you know, the the regular people would start leaving at some point, but then the pros would hang out. And just watching all that, I don't, you know, I'm not going to blame it on that, but, you know, I think that it might have made it easier for me. I'm grateful that we don't drink today. I'm grateful that our kids don't watch that. But the fact is that, and the point is that when I started drinking, I wasn't drinking like an alcoholic. And my real first introduction to social drinking with friends, passing around the bottle, group of people, hooking up, hanging out, drinking, heading out, carrying on, whatever happened throughout the night, that really started when I was probably like a senior. Senior in high school. And that was when I started hanging out with my friends from New Mexico. That's where I lived at the time. And I remember I wasn't doing much. I was hanging out with my buddy John. We were still kind of kids-like, you know. We did kid stuff. And I had transferred to a new school and started hanging out with these guys who I thought were just awesome. They played guitar, you know, probably still trying to impress people by partaking in illegal activity, so to speak. But I remember we, you know, they're like, we're going to go out tonight. You want to come over or something? And I was like, yeah. And they bought some beer, and they bought a bottle of Evan Williams. And that was really the first time we socially went to a party or hung out as a group of people and got drunk. And I would do that for, you know, probably 2 years, hanging out, partying, having fun. And then when I finally moved out to California, that's when I started drinking my mom's wine. And just because I didn't have any friends, I didn't know anybody, I didn't have anything to do, I was, you know, I was very sad, I was depressed that I'd left all my friends and a girlfriend back behind in Albuquerque, and just started drinking my mom's wine, you know, mixing it with whatever she had, orange soda and wine, you know, whatever, Sprite and wine, you know, that's back in the wine cooler days, and so I was like, listen, I'm just making wine coolers, and that was the first time I really started drinking alone. And it was bad. My mom would be like, dude, you drink all my wine. And I, from about that point, I started drinking alcoholically. Like one was not enough. And I would drink until I got drunk and pass out. And then that would slowly start to, and that's when I started working at a school and met the guys that started doing the speed. Because at that point, I finally got this job. I don't even remember how I got it. I think I met a guy at a bar. In fact, now that I think about it, I did. I met this guy at a bar. He was a bar friend, this big dude. I mean, he was huge. And I remember him saying, hey, look, we're looking for, you know, people to come and work for the summer. And if you do a good job, maybe we'll keep you on for the year. And that was at a school district. And so I got this job, and I used to have to be there at 7 in the morning. I literally remember getting to work and laying on the floor and sleeping until we had to start work. That's how freaking pathetic I was. And then I was introduced to speed. And that would be the real battle for a long time. You know, doing speed, drinking to come down, drinking too much, doing speed to get sober. It was just, and that's really where the bad habits set in. And, you know, I did that for a long time until I got arrested and got in trouble. And, you know, finally my parents got me out of California and came back to Delaware. And that was in 94. And that's where my alcoholism really kicked off. I mean, first of all, I was a speed addict. And there was no speed here on the East Coast. This was 26 years ago or so. So I just turned to the most legal thing that I could do that would give me a buzz, which was alcohol. And I would do it every day. And I was bummed and sad, and I was detoxing off of meth. And my, you know, I was at the time in California, I was skinny and having a lot of fun. And I came back to Delaware off the meth, started putting on weight, started drinking a lot of vodka and beer, started smoking cigars, eating chicken wings. I just hit bottom. And my health was bad, my weight was awful. My drinking was out of control, barely working. I was I got a job at the shortstop. I was working all night, getting up in the morning, drinking, because that was my 5 o'clock, and it was. And maybe most people that might work a graveyard shift, that's okay, but I was drunk in the morning. And then I would pass out, and then if I was working later that night, I would go to work. If I was not working, I would pass out, and then I'd get up, and I'd probably drink again. It was just a terrible, never-ending story, and it was awful. I don't think I could have done a sober October back then. I'm not sure if they were even doing it back then. I don't think I was capable. I could not quit. So anybody, honestly, that can take the month of October and not drink, that's pretty great. I would have never been able to do that. I couldn't do a day. And I've talked about the story that would go through my head. And I know if someone's out there that's listening to this podcast is struggling with alcohol, you know the story. And it doesn't even have to be alcohol, whether it's food, money, sex, whatever it is. You know, you get up the next morning, you're full of regret and shame. Can't believe I did it again. Not going to do it today. And then I would start justifying what I was going to drink. Like, I used to love vodka, so I would say, listen, I'm not going to drink vodka. I'm only going to drink beer. And I'm only going to have one. Then I would have the beer, and then all of a sudden I'd have another. And the next thing you know, I'm going, why am I only drinking beer? Let's drink vodka. And it would all happen again. It was awful. Awful. I think my lucky stars today that I do not exist like that anymore. And if someone's out there that's struggling like that, and you can take the month of October off, do it. You know, maybe, you know, at least at the end of October, you got 30 days if you want to, you know, hang in there and keep going, you know, try it. It's awesome. So that's a little, I'm sure I've told that story, but the guy that quit drinking, you know, when I did, and the guy that had started were just two different people. And, you know, trying to understand why I even got involved in alcohol has always still been a mystery. What is keeps dinging? But it is, it's a daily thing. And I'm just very, very grateful to be sober. If I keep holding out, will the light shine through under this broken roof? Or it's only red that I feel. I've been wishing out the days. Oh, come back. I have been planning out all that I say to you since you slipped away. You know, I talked about in the past about a friendship that I'd had that kind of went weird, and, you know, I was like, I ain't putting up with this shit, blah, blah, blah. And the problem is that the person that I had had the friendship with was a great friend, you know. And I miss this person, and we've been talking a little bit. You know, we're big Pearl Jam fans, and Pearl Jam is firing up the motors. Played a couple shows, Asbury Park. Now they play Dana Point, the Ohana Festival. And they played last night. Oh, so good. Love that band. sometimes I look at them, I go, you know, because like I want to share videos of them playing. I'm like, maybe this is just a band that I love. They are old. It's been kind of my theme music for my big portion of my life. And in this friendship that I had, that band was a big, you know, brought us together. And I really miss this person, you know. And I've, you know, I talked about it on the podcast, and I, you know, I talk about it in my head, and I try to figure out, you know, what could I have done differently? Was this my fault? You know, whose fault? Does it matter if anybody was at fault? And so we've been texting a little bit, and you know, I sent him a text. We had been I was texting when I was in Connecticut about because Pearl Jam was playing that night, and I just missed this guy. He's a fucking great guy. And I want to rehab. I want to figure out how to have our friendship. I want to work it out. Because I really, the fact that I have a friend that I was freaking great friends with and that I'm not friends with now is not very sober. It's not very serene, right? It's, you know, it's great to have the strength or the, you know, to be able to have an honest thought and realize that something's not working, but it doesn't set well to just bail on it. You know, I really, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. There's really no reason we should dislike anybody, right? Unless somebody is creating an inconvenience or making, you know, thought-provoking or whatever it is, but there's really no reason. Unless, you know, obviously someone's done something to hurt you or your family, of course, or stolen, but just in passing with people, there should be no reason. The only people I dislike are the people that are creating an inconvenience, usually traffic, you know, if I have to wait. But so there's really no reason that this person and I should not be able to figure this out. So I just sent in some videos from the band playing in last night in Dana Point, and I said, let's get coffee. And he said, yeah, let's do it. So we're going to get coffee on Monday. But, you know, now I'm like, what do I want to solve? Right. What do I want to fix? And I'm wondering if there's anything to fix because, you know, we're men, right? We're 50-year-old men. I mean, I think he's 49 or 48 and I'm 52. I mean, we're men, you know, we're not going to change our ways. I think I just have to, for me, I will say this. I can be a little sensitive and, you know, if my feelings get hurt or whatever, I say, I don't care. Hey, I don't care. No big deal. But maybe it does. Maybe that was bothering me because we had this back and forth. We would rib each other. And, you know, part of me is like, you know, he just needs to be nicer. But, excuse me, I can clearly remember me dishing it out. Right? And what do they say? If you can't take it, don't dish it out. And so I'm wondering, you know, do I need to not be so sensitive? Do I not, you know, because for the most part, it was a great friendship. So we're going to have coffee on Monday, and I'm like, what do I say? Do I apologize? You know, do I recognize? Do I just not say anything? Do I just act like nothing ever happened? Because really nothing has really ever happened between him and I. There was another incident that happened that was associated to him, and when that happened, I just said, I'm done, and I haven't spoken to anybody about it, including him, and so I'm just, you know, I want to rekindle this friendship. I like having him as a friend. I'm just trying to figure out what I need to do differently so that I don't get so affected or annoyed. And so, you know, that's something that I'm going to do on Monday. I'm going to have coffee with my buddy. And hopefully we can discuss it, maybe figure it out. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing to discuss. Maybe it's just me being sensitive, which has happened. You know, sobriety gives me this kind of thing where, listen, if I don't like something, I do not need to be part of it. You know, I do not need to punish myself. I am sober and I know better. But it doesn't really fix everything. There's still shit. Like, you know, is me being sensitive a shortcoming, a character defect? I don't think it's character defect, but I do believe it's a shortcoming. I think it's fixable. Maybe boundaries have to be set. I've always said the only problem with fixing stuff in this friendship is all the stuff that should be fixed is all the stuff that I really think is the funniest part of our friendship. It's just a lot of laughing, and you just don't have that a lot. I know at 50, what am I, 53, you know, I have a lot of acquaintances, tons of acquaintances. I have tons of friends. But do I have many that I would sit down and, you know, on a regular basis have coffee with, go for a run, go for a bike ride, podcast with, whatever it is? I don't have, maybe, you know, my buddy Tim, but he's in Baltimore, my buddy John, but he's in Texas, you know, not really many people like that. And I know that when this friendship started, it was like being in eighth grade all over again. And it was just awesome. But, you know, I have to figure it out because I want to have that friendship back. I miss this guy. He's very smart. He's a good influence on me. He's a good business influence on me. He is a voice of reason. You know, I can do things or come up with ideas, and he will say, listen, this is, if you want to do that, this is what it's going to take. And I'm like, okay, that's maybe not what I was planning. So he's a smart guy. So fingers crossed, I don't even think you have to cross your fingers. I think we're going to have a great coffee on Monday. And, you know, I hope we can figure it out because, you know, he's a good guy. All right, let me do a reading. Let's see what's going on. And then I'll be out of here. I'll be out of your hair. Let's see. Turn it off. All right. What does this Daily Reflections have for us today? Speak to us. All right. Here we go. October 2nd. Sober October, right? The acid test. As we work the first 9 steps, we prepare ourselves for the adventure of a new life. But when we approach step 10, we commence to put our AA way of living to practical use. Day by day, in fair weather or foul, then comes the acid test. Can we stay sober, keep an emotional balance, and live to good purpose under all conditions? Well, it's a great question. You know, can we stay sober? Yes. Can we keep an emotional balance? That's tough. And live to good purpose under all conditions? That's not as easy as it's said. All right. I know the promises are being fulfilled in my life, but I want to maintain and develop them by a daily application of step 10. I have learned through this step that I am disturbed. I have learned through this step that I have learned through this step that if I am disturbed, there is something wrong with me. And that's a great point. The other person may be wrong too, but I can only deal with my feelings. When I am hurt or upset, I have to continually look for the cause in me. And then I have to admit and correct my mistakes. It isn't easy, but as long as I am progressing spiritually, I know that I can mark my effort up as a job well done. I have found that pain is a friend. It lets me know there is something wrong with my emotions. Just as physical pain lets me know there is something wrong with my body, when I take the appropriate actions through the 12 steps, the pain gradually goes away. I'm always amazed that, you know, I can talk about something, share about something, and read the daily reflection, and it really hits on kind of what's going on. And that's exactly, you know, what's going on with this friendship. You know, the friendship was fine. The problem was probably me, right? I mean, even the worst behavior from somebody, I should be at a place where I can either understand it, realize it isn't about me, pick it apart, or choose to walk away. The reality for this friendship and this relationship was there really was nothing wrong. It was me being too sensitive and not being able to handle it. And that's tough. You know, sometimes when we become sensitive, sometimes our emotional reaction is a little rough. And I think that probably is what has happened here. So fingers crossed, I'm taking a look at myself. I want to fix the part that I've played, and I hope that I can somehow bring back a friendship that was very, very important to me. Thanks for letting me share. Peace. Bye-bye. If I don't follow